Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening. Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I'm your host of Yoga Birth Babies. And today we're talking about gut health to help you understand nutrition and how your body works during pregnancy and postpartum. So if you know anything about gut health, you may know about the microbiomes and how that's passed on to your baby and how what you eat and your gut health affects your body during pregnancy and birth. But we also, as we talk about symptoms of gut issues and treatment of gut issues, there's several side conversations around poop. I know, you're like, did you say poop? I did, because it tells you a lot about your gut health. So I thought it was a really fun, informative conversation and something to make you definitely walk away from thinking about your body. So to have this very lively conversation, I have Bridget Mallison. Let me tell you a little bit about Bridget. She is a functional medicine dietitian, business mentor, and the founder and CEO of Gut Personal, a supplement company that empowers everyone to eliminate gut issues for good through a personalized approach. After healing a lifelong struggle with her gut, Bridget has spent a decade studying functional medicine and nutrition as a registered functional dietitian. It's a really fun conversation. I think you're going to get a lot. And as a new parent, you're probably interested in the gut health of your baby. And are they gassy? Are they bloated? Are they colicky? Your gut health can be influencing your baby. So you may get interested in supporting your health and therefore that of your baby. I'm really excited for you to hear this. Now, before we get to my conversation with Bridget, I always love to give just some updates about Prenatal Yoga Center. So as you are listening to this podcast, we have completed the 2023-2024 school year, aka how I think of everything, our teacher training. We did 3 online prenatal yoga teacher trainings and 1 in person in New York City. It was absolutely amazing. And then I'm getting ready for our once a year online postnatal teacher training. So if you want to take a very in-depth, fun, challenging training so that you are able to support the perinatal community, check out all of that on our website, prenatalyogacenter.com. We are also full force with still 7 days a week of our online classes and then 6 days a week of our in-studio classes. And as you know, I mention it all the time, we've got an amazing in-depth on-demand library because I know my schedule doesn't always fit your schedule. So I want you to still have access to everything we offer. So check out our on-demand library. And then lastly, and what I'm so impressed is you guys really are taking me seriously about this. I want to hear if you have topics that I haven't covered, or maybe somebody you think would be a great fit for the podcast, send them my way. They can fill out an application for the podcast on our website, prenatalyogacenter.com. Go to the podcast page and there's an application there. And if you have a topic you want me to know, just email me, deb@prenatalyogacenter.com, because I love to learn and I love hearing what you want to learn. So I'll take it as my challenge to find somebody that would fit that topic and then we can have an in-depth conversation. Now, I have something to ask of you. When you have a moment, and maybe that moment is now, will you please leave a rating and review of the podcast? It helps people find us, and that's what we want to do. We want to just keep building our community. All right, that is enough of me. Let's take a super quick break, and when we come back, let's talk with Bridget about gut health.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, Bridget. How are you?
Well, I'm so good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm really excited for our topic. I don't know a ton. Well, I know a bit about nutrition, so I'm not nearly a nutritionist, but I love this kind of conversation. I love talking nutrition. I love talking gut health. I'm so excited to pick your brain. So I'm excited to get my hands on a dietitian and see where we go. So I guess before we do that, I'd love to learn a little bit about you and what led you to being a dietitian.
Yeah. So I'm so excited for this conversation too. I think I should let everyone know that you were a savior during pregnancy for me with your yoga classes.
Thank you.
Yes. So I was in high school. I was an athlete. I was a cheerleader. And this brought me to being a dietitian. So I think it's important to say I was injured and I always took really great care of my body. But now that I couldn't exercise with having multiple concussions throughout high school, I started learning about nutrition and, you know, went to science research days and like got really nitty gritty in trying to understand nutrition at a pretty young age in high school. When honestly, you know, this is back in the early 2000s where, you know, nutrition wasn't as, you know, talked about as it is now. And I learned that one of my family friends was actually going to school to be a dietitian. And I was like, oh my God, that's a career? Like my whole, it was like my, you know, eyes wide open, so excited that I could do this for a living.
That's fascinating.
Yes.
Where were you thinking in your mind, kind of like the path after high school before you're like dietitian? Because that's so specific at kind of a young age.
Honestly, it was. And I always also wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so I thought I'd always work for myself. And then as I became a dietitian, I had a lot of professors and mentors who say, no, you need to work in a hospital first. And I knew I didn't want to do that. I knew I wanted to help people in a bigger way. But it was interesting just how my career evolved and how it continually evolves to, you know, my own health struggles with being an undergrad. And then I went to graduate school. I came out to the East Coast in Boston. And how what I thought I would do and what I was learning in school was then kind of shifted with my own health struggles. I had a lot of gut issues. I had migraines, thyroid issues. Yet, like I said, I lived a really healthy life. I used food as medicine, but I still was not getting answers from doctors. And I knew like if I couldn't heal my own body, and even though I was, you know, eating the healthiest, treating my body really well, I had this limiting belief, like, how can I help my clients? How can I help my patients if I don't even feel good? So as my career went on, as I was in graduate school, that shifted into finding functional medicine and learning more about gut health and actually healing my own gut, healing my thyroid issues, weight gain, skin issues, ADHD, like healed my entire body with gut health, which I think is really important to start the conversation with, because I think when we think of gut health, we just think of gut symptoms, but it's so much more than that. And that really like exploded my passion for helping people because I healed my own self through healing my gut.
I guess so we need to define what gut health is because I think the two things, and this is probably very broad and maybe even quite ignorant of me. I think gut health, I think microbiomes. And the other thing my brain thinks of is probiotics. And I know there's so much more to it than that. So I guess let's start with defining gut health.
Well, you are so right on the first one. Your gut health is your microbiome. And your gut health influences how you feel. And on a broader scope, it really is the center of all health. So your microbiome, your good and your bad bacteria in your gut, that's called your microbiome. And so that influences not only if you have gut issues or don't, and when I'm saying gut issues, I think of constipation, diarrhea, bloating, acid reflux, those types of symptoms. So we can think of those gut issues as the microbiome being out of balance, but there are other symptoms that we might have where we know the microbiome is out of balance, specifically hormonal issues, brain fog, migraines or headaches, ADHD, autoimmune issues. The gut is just the center of all health. And it's really important to have a healthy gut. So you're spot on with the microbiome. And then where probiotics, prebiotics come in is they influence the microbiome. And we can get into more of that. But I think you're pretty spot on there.
Oh, I'm very happy with myself. All right. So considering most of the listeners, well, not most, but a good amount are probably pregnant. How does pregnancy affect gut health and gut microbiomes?
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, I always think about symptoms, right? Like what people experience in their bodies. So some people, when they get pregnant, their gut issues seem to go away. Where they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not constipated anymore. Actually, probably people get more constipated.
Yeah, I actually think they get more constipated. Yeah,
that's a bad example. But for some people, they'll say, oh, my bloating went away when I got pregnant, or my diarrhea went away, or something like that. Whereas for most women, we experience more gut issues while we're pregnant. Specifically constipation, like we were saying, and especially at the end, heartburn and acid reflux, which is both physical, you know, in terms of like, you know, the baby's taking up more space and everything. You're much more of an expert on that. But what pregnancy can sometimes show us is a gut imbalance that was there that's made worse by hormonal shifts with the baby. And also the baby, you know, really influencing the microbiome of the mother in terms of it takes a lot of, you know, our microbiome, and growing a baby is a stress on the body. While it's a really good stress, when the body is stressed out, it affects the microbiome.
That makes sense. So how does gut health impact the development of the fetus? I'm assuming it must.
Yeah. You know, if one of the things the gut does is it digests and absorbs nutrients. And so if we have a little bit of gut issues and then we get pregnant, even if we're taking a prenatal vitamin, we might not be digesting and absorbing nutrients from our food well enough. And so this is really important, where I'm always saying to our clients to really work on their gut health before they're getting pregnant if they can. And then of course, there are ways that you can work on your gut health while you're pregnant and postpartum, but you want to be digesting and absorbing your food properly. Some signs that you're not digesting, absorbing properly would be bloating, your poop actually floating. That's, you know, so next time you go to the bathroom, turn around, look if it's floating. It's actually not supposed to be floating. If it is,
why does it float? I actually, not that I'm sharing a lot, my poop does not float. And so I'm glad now. But why would it float? Doesn't it have weight to it so that it goes down?
Well, yes. If there's too much fat, I know, this is so funny.
I mean, honestly, ever since having kids, there's such a conversation like, oh my God. Around poop.
Yes. And I'm sure having a boy, right? Like, I don't even know that side of things yet, but it floats if there's too much fat, undigested fat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So as a dietitian, we call that fat malabsorption. But basically, it just means you're not breaking down fat well enough, which is really important in a developing fetus, because if you're not absorbing fat, you're not absorbing fat soluble nutrients like vitamins A, D, E, and K. So these are really important in bone development and brain development and hormonal shifts in, you know, mood of the mom. So I always really try to get women working on their gut pre-pregnancy, but there's a lot you can do while you're pregnant and postpartum as well.
So when you were saying floating poop, I'm like, is it airy? How does it float? Okay. But yep. Then it's funny that you're talking about this again. This conversation's taken quite a turn. So yep. When I went to India and I studied Ayurvedic there, that was something they talked a lot about, mm-hmm. one's poop for your body's health. But what about if you're thinking about once your baby's born and how your baby is metabolizing and everything and gets getting either from formula or from breast milk, they're pooping into a diaper. So how do you know how their poop's doing?
How the baby's poop is doing?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, this is a funny conversation because I'm a first time mom. My daughter is 7 months. So I'm going through it. Like, we just added solids in and I'm like, why is it so stinky and thick? But you know, one thing that I've really noticed, I'm going to use my own experience here.
Okay.
It's not only with her poop, but she doesn't spit up or throw up or have colic. Like none of these very, very common issues that babies have. And a huge reason is because I worked on my microbiome, because whether we have a vaginal birth or a C-section, most specifically a vaginal birth, if we have a vaginal birth, we give our infant our microbiome, whether it's good or bad. And so that really influences their microbiome. And I've seen a lot of positive shifts in my daughter's microbiome because of my great gut health. And, you know, I've worked on it for 8 years to get to this point. But it shows how she shows me she has a great microbiome is from her lack of like upper digestive symptoms. Mm. I think a lot of lower digestive symptoms, I think it's just always shifting, right? Like poop specifically. But if it gets really, really stinky, I mean, that can be a sign that things can be off. Same with adults.
Interesting. All right. So when you were talking about vaginal births, and maybe I'm asking something kind of beyond where you practice, but I know with vaginal births, like we said, the baby goes to the birth canal, yeah. picks up the parents' microbiomes. But then have you heard about, I think it's called seeding,
yes.
where there's like a cotton swab that goes into the parent's vagina and then they wipe the baby with that if they're having a C-section?
Absolutely. One of my great girlfriends who had a baby at a similar time than I did and is also a dietitian, she had to have an emergency C-section and that's exactly what she did. And the baby's been really healthy. You know, when we think about the developing microbiome, the first 2 years of life are the most important. And so when, you know, I'm working with a client, we start like, say they're, you know, a 30-year-old client, we're actually starting their timeline at their birth. Okay. Were you born C-section or vaginally? Okay. And then were you on antibiotics in the first year, 2 years of life? Were you on probiotics in the first 2 years of life? Were you a colicky baby? Did you spit up a lot? Like when we're thinking about health, it truly starts then. And of course, there's a lot of things that we can't do, you know, that we don't have control over, like an emergency C-section or something like that. But those things all impact gut health. So if we have gut issues at 30 years old, let's say, that's impacted by our, you know, method of delivery.
Okay, this might also be, I'm going a little too deep. Does it matter how quickly a baby goes through the birth canal?
No, nope.
So it can be like a fast shot through or a long slow.
It's still gonna get it, baby.
Yep. I love that. All right, so let's keep with the whole idea of the baby's gut because they're getting, we just talked about the vaginal microbiome. So what about breastfeeding? So if someone chooses to breastfeed, how does that maternal diet impact the infant's gut health? Because I know so many of my students talk about their baby having gut issues, and they've so restricted themselves. They're practically eating nothing. They've taken dairy out. They've taken soy out. They're like, I'm like, what are you surviving on? They're like, rice and chicken and vegetables. And I'm like, oh, you must be so sad. So how does the maternal diet impact infant's gut health?
It does in such a positive and maybe not so positive way, but I always like to think of the positive first. So it's like, if you are getting the best thing that you can do for baby and for baby's microbiome is to eat a variety of foods. Now, that example that you just gave is probably the opposite of that advice, right? But I'm more so talking about like different colors of the rainbow. We know not only for adults, but for babies and breast milk and the nutrients that are in it, the variety really matters. So for example, if you never really eat vegetables, or if you just eat green vegetables, adding in blues and purples and reds and oranges, that's actually going to help the baby's health a lot. I would say the thing that where nutrition is less important is where there's already a, where the mom doesn't have a great microbiome in the breast milk that will constantly be given to the baby, right? So making sure the mom is on a probiotic. If the baby's having a lot of issues, the baby can be on a probiotic. I've had moms with mastitis where I've had them put an infant probiotic actually on their nipple, and then the baby can get the probiotic in that way. There's so many ways to shift the microbiome. So variety, probiotics are really great. And then if the baby's having a lot of gut and skin issues, I love to use a dairy-free colostrum. So if we think of like the colostrum for the baby as liquid gold, we can actually use this for humans too. And it's taken from a cow basically, but it's dairy-free. And it's really, really incredible at helping things heal, because we can do like those nutrition edits and specifically, like you said, take eliminating foods, but really shifting that microbiome from being out of balance into imbalance is going to require supplements.
All right. That makes sense. All right. So let's talk a little about the symptoms, because people might not, I know like the first thing I think of is like gassy and bloated, but what other symptoms, actually, no, now that I'm saying that, I lied. I think mucousy too, because to my knowledge, you're the one that knows this far more than me, but I feel like doesn't mucus talk, kind of show inflammation?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't know if I've ever been asked about mucusy poop on a podcast, and I love it so much because it is so important.
Well, I was thinking more like, I wasn't thinking mucusy poop, but we can go there. I was thinking more like congestion and just like mucusy. Like, yeah. So
yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about symptoms of gut issues.
Okay. So we're talking about two different types of mucus.
But we can go to both. We can absolutely discuss both.
Yeah. So the big gut issues that we see are the gassy, the bloated, constipation, diarrhea, going too much, urgency, like, oh my God.
What does mucusy poop look like?
Yeah.
This is new.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google this later.
Yeah. Looking at the poop, you can tell a lot. So mucus is actually an immune system overreaction. So 70% of our immune system is in the gut. Honestly, the mucus in the poop is also related to mucus and congestion, because they're both an immune overreaction. So yes, there can be some inflammation, but it's more of the immune system being on high alert. So basically the immune system being like, whoa, whatever foods you ate, or I am just out of balance from stress and whatever it could be, you know, from congestion, histamines are a stress, but that's the root cause of that is all gut imbalances.
Wait, histamines are? So like my allergies that I get in the spring, that's from my gut?
Yes, you betcha. So 70% of, like I said, is of the immune system is in the gut. When we have an out of balance gut, our immune system is more overreactive to foods, to environmental allergens. So, you know, what I would say is most people are taking antihistamines, which actually don't help the body to reduce histamines in the body. So we use a product called The Rescue, which is quercetin and vitamin C and NAC. All of these nutrients in a supplement form help reduce histamines instead of blocking histamines. And then work simultaneously working on the gut.
Oh, wow. Okay. So as we get into spring right now, my eyes are going to soon be very itchy. Yeah. I need to not necessarily go for the Claritin. I'll have to rethink this. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about how to treat these issues. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've now identified all sorts of symptoms. Now we're going to head into how to treat them. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Okay, we're back. So we've got a lot of symptoms, some mucusier than others. I'm so laughing at this. And now we need to talk about how we treat gut issues.
Yes. Oh, I love this so much. So I actually had someone actually reach out to me today in the DM. So this is so perfect. They were asking, I get so many gut issues when I eat vegetables, but maybe this is you listening to this who can resonate. I get so many gut issues when I eat X. So we think the treatment and how to fix our gut issues is to simply remove those foods, when that's not the case at all. When we have gut reactions or any systemic reactions to certain foods, it simply means the food is going into our imbalanced microbiome and causing a reaction. So the food is not the problem, the gut is the problem. And it's very difficult to shift the gut with simply just editing diet. And even as a dietitian, I am like, oh my God, I wish we could heal the gut through simply just food, but we can't. And actually, that's why I was very sick for about a decade, was because I was just trying to use food. So what we have to do to treat gut issues is get to the root cause. You know, I'm using a broad imbalanced microbiome, imbalanced gut, but there are so many things that can be out of balance in the gut. The bacteria can be out of balance. You can have parasites, yeast overgrowth. You might not be breaking down foods well. You might have maybe your immune system is overreactive, or maybe it's underreactive. So that's where we use gut testing a lot with our clients too. It's actually poop testing. Just like we would do with our dogs, you know, if our dogs were sick or even our kids, we would take their poop, bring it to the vet or the pediatrician, and we would say what's going on in their gut. That's a lot of what we do to try and treat gut issues. And then, you know, if someone's not wanting to invest in testing, we then use personalized supplements. And probiotics are not always the solution. That's actually why I started my company, was I had so many people saying, I took a probiotic and I felt worse. So I developed this quiz to say, okay, these are the supplements you should take to heal your gut for what gut issues you have. So it starts healing the gut at different root causes, which can be really powerful as well.
So I know we're going to talk about supplements to help, but is there anything about, like, I know for me, if I have onions and garlic, ooh, much to the sadness of my husband who loves to cook with it, I do not tolerate it well. I feel great when I don't have it, but when I have it, I get bloated, I get gassy, I get tired. So I've learned to cut that out. Mm-hmm. And then I feel great. So is there anything to taking certain foods out, or is it really a much bigger picture than that?
Oh my gosh, Deb, we have opened, what did they say? Opened a can of worms?
Yeah.
Woo! If there were two foods that gave me insight of what's going on in your gut, it's onions and garlic.
All right, so go.
Here we go. This is going to be your personalized recommendations right here. No.
Okay.
When onions and garlic are giving us digestive issues, one, these two foods are really big prebiotics, which means that they feed bacteria. So we hear of probiotics, we think of prebiotics. Probiotics are the good bacteria, which we can take in supplemental form, or in foods like fermented foods and yogurt, things like that. Prebiotics are in vegetables in terms of fiber. And so onions and garlic are super strong prebiotics. When you can't tolerate specifically onions and garlic, but also, you know, if anyone's ever heard of the low FODMAP diet or FODMAPs, other foods would be apples or the...
Oh, I love apples.
Oh, good. Or the cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower.
Oh, I love those. I have them almost every morning with my eggs.
That's excellent. However, fact, she's like, I'm going to talk us out of this. My gut is fine. No. With it not tolerating any of those, and everyone's body is going to be super different, but those are just some classes of foods, that really means there's bad bacteria in the gut.
Oh.
And so definitely recommending a test there. Or if you're like, I just take them out and I'm fine, I'm going to just challenge that. While that might be the only symptom now, gut issues, if you just take out the foods, it's basically Band-Aid to the issue. So taking a probiotic, specifically the booster, would help get rid of bad bacteria in the gut. Taking our dairy-free colostrum, that would bind a bad bacteria in the gut. Because just think about like a reaction to those foods as a headache. And taking the foods out is like taking ibuprofen. It's just band-aiding a symptom that your body's trying to say, hey, pay attention to me here.
Okay. All right. No, I'm hearing you. I'm digesting it. Haha. Play on words. But I will definitely think about that. So I know one of your passions is supplements, but how can whole foods also help promote gut health? So I know, you know, we'll get into supplements, but what else can someone do just from their diet to support healthy gut health?
Yeah. So it depends on kind of where their gut health is. So if they have pretty good gut health, you know, they're not having any digestive symptoms, they're not having any of those other symptoms that I talked about with an imbalanced gut, like hormone imbalances, you know, brain fog, headaches, any of those skin issues, those would all tell me you're having gut issues. If you're not having any of that, variety is so important, especially with fruits and vegetables. So if you usually go to grab, what's a great example? White potatoes, grab purple potatoes. If you usually go to grab broccoli, even grabbing asparagus, you know what I mean? So it's just variety of fruits and vegetables. If you don't have gut issues, if you do have gut issues, It's really hard to say, make these nutrition shifts, because one person might feel great on the nutrition shift, another person would feel worse. So I would say where whole foods can be really supportive is variety. And then if you have, you know, some of these fermented foods like sauerkraut or
Kimchi.
Oh my God, I love kimchi. But when I had gut issues, if I had kimchi, that would send me on a 5-day flare up of bloating and gas. So that's where I say, just be very careful. If you have no gut issues, go for it. But if you really have gut issues, it's really going to be about healing your gut and then making nutrition shifts.
All right, this is interesting, because I think all those out there, I don't think I've ever met, maybe except you, who's had like perfectly healthy gut, because most of us have, you know, some probably habits and just haven't investigated enough to know how to heal. Because I always thought I had pretty good gut health. And now you're telling me no. The onions and garlic are telling me differently.
And this is a thing, I think that's coming more to light, where even our conventional medical system is starting to learn more about gut health. And of course we know, like Hippocrates was saying, like the gut is the center of all health. So we're just starting to understand even further of how supportive it is of health, and how when things are out of balance, it really, you know, you want to check out the gut first.
All right. So I'm quite confident that people that are listening, the pregnant folks are like, yep, want to pass that healthy microbiome onto my baby, yeah. Especially if they're going to breastfeed, they want to pass that onto their baby. So what are some, we talked about a few ways to treat, and I know that you do work a lot with supplements. So I'd love to give you the opportunity to share some, not, how do I say this? Just kind of broadly, what would be helpful for people's guts while they're pregnant?
Okay. We've got the most important thing. Now, we haven't talked about this at all, but I have to share.
Okay.
Because most women do get constipated while they're pregnant, taking magnesium glycinate while you're pregnant, not citrate. It is not absorbed by the body. Magnesium glycinate. Magnesium is involved in 300 different processes in the body. Probably 50 of those are related to growing a human. So a lot of women get restless legs or constipation, or they can't sleep.
Calf cramps too.
You have cramps. Oh my gosh. Yes. Or tight muscles. I'm sure you see that with your clients at the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is all related to magnesium deficiency. Magnesium is so used to grow a baby, and the mother then becomes deficient. So usually about 300 milligrams of magnesium glycinate is incredible at night for women. And I did double that dose. I never had pregnancy constipation or insomnia. So that was, you know, and that's something we recommend to our clients, but I always like to give little anecdotes. So magnesium and then a probiotic. So taking our quiz can be really powerful to personalize which probiotic for you. All of those are pregnancy safe. We also have a probiotic that's specific to group B strep and urinary and vaginal health, which is called the women's probiotic. It's the only two research strains to support group B strep. So I love women who are early stage pregnancy or even, you know, at the end of their pregnancy to be taking it because it has some great research on it. Those are the big ones. And then the dairy-free colostrum is if you've had a lot of gut issues pre-pregnancy and you're continually having gut issues and skin issues, that's like really shows me the gut is out of balance. Our dairy-free colostrum is so powerful in healing the gut, healing the immune system. It's the liquid gold that we can use as adults.
So when you're talking skin issues, you're talking like pimples or like eczema or?
Ooh, good question. All of the above, however, eczema, psoriasis, rosacea, these are all incredibly linked to an imbalanced gut.
Interesting.
And same for the baby. It's really amazing how once you start improving your gut microbiome, how the babies, you know, eczema is so common in babies. Mm-hmm. And it's just telling us the baby and mom needs to improve their gut.
Wow. All right. I love this.
A lot of foods.
This is so great. Okay. We're going to take another break. When we come back, what is one final tip or piece of advice you'd like to offer new and expectant parents? We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back. Okay. So this is going to be interesting because you have the hat of being a dietitian and knowing a lot about pregnancy that way, but you're also a new parent. So I'm very curious your answer to what is one final tip or piece of advice you'd like to offer new and expectant parents?
So the first thing that came to mind is not related to my career at all, but I'll just say it. It's giving yourself grace. That's something that my husband and I would say to each other probably 5 times a day when my daughter was newborn. So giving yourself grace. And then one tip that I would give to new and expectant parents from the dietitian lens would probably not be anything related to gut health, would be to make sure you just eat.
Oh, like, that's good.
You know what I mean? Like that's, I think, giving yourself grace. Like you just need to make sure that you eat 3 balanced meals a day. Protein, fat, carbs, color, in order to have energy to take care of that new babe. So that's what I would give.
I really like that. I know when I was kind of in the thick of the first few weeks of my first child, my son, I was so focused on him and breastfeeding, and I didn't always eat well. I'd be like, right. That's a glass of milk. That's a meal. So that's a really, really good piece of advice. Where can people find your work?
Yeah. So I'm Bridget Malley on Instagram. You can find me, ask me any questions. I love, you know, to answer any clarifying questions from this podcast or just in general, or just come say hi. I'm a new mom as well. And then gutpersonal.com. If you resonated and feel like you need any support with supplements, we also have programs that will help you with nutrition there, of course. But would love to support anyone in your community where we can. It's all about empowerment here. And I hope this message and all the information I shared was super empowering.
It was great. Thank you so much. Now I think everyone's going to go look at their later.
Yes, I love it.
Thanks so much, Bridget. It was such a great time talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.